of the Gospel of Mark, Jesus proclaims the kingdom of God is near in the beginning of this gospel, and that's an important theme of the gospel. Now, initially, Jesus is perceived as someone who teaches with authority and offers healing. And we see in Mark that this sort of slow, gradual transition from, wow, what a great teacher, maybe a prophet, to the Son of God. People don't, at this point in the gospel, understand that he is the Messiah. When Jesus declares, which we read about last week, the paralytic man's sins are forgiven, the religious leaders regard this statement as blasphemy, for only God can forgive sins. They don't understand that Jesus is the Son of God and has the authority to forgive sins. This week, Jesus announces that he is the Lord of the Sabbath and does not conform to the religious leaders' Sabbath rules. Instead, Jesus demonstrates compassion as well as respect for the Sabbath. Please bow your hearts in prayer with me. Heavenly Father, we thank you for all of the blessings of this life, your unfailing love, your Son, our Savior and Lord, and your Holy Spirit who heals and empowers us. Help us to study this passage so that we may demonstrate compassion and obey God's laws as Jesus did. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. So as the passage begins, once when John's disciples and the Pharisees were fasting, some people came to Jesus and asked, why don't your disciples fast like John's disciples and the Pharisees do? So we see that Jesus' disciples are being compared to the disciples of John the Baptist and the Pharisees. They perceive Jesus as a prophet like John the Baptist, or perhaps a religious teacher like the Pharisees. Yet, they have noticed there is something different between Jesus and John the Baptist and the Pharisees, because after all, he teaches with authority that they've not seen before. Now, the law requires fasting only on the Day of Atonement, when the priests prepare sin offerings to the people to God for the people. So that's the one requirement for fasting. So not fasting is not an example of breaking the law. Fasting may occur as a personal expression of prayer, of mourning, or of repentance. Fasting was regarded as a sign of a righteous person, and the Pharisees fasted twice a week, according to the Gospel of Luke in chapter 18. However, Jesus indicated in Matthew 6 that if someone fasts, the person should do so privately. He said, "And when you fast, don't make it obvious, as the hypocrites do, for they try to look miserable and disheveled so people will admire them for their fasting. I tell you the truth, that is the only reward they will ever get. But when you fast, comb your hair and wash your face. Then no one will notice that you are fasting, except your Father, who knows what you do in private, and your Father who sees everything will reward you." The passage continues. Jesus replied, "Do wedding guests fast while celebrating with the groom? Of course not. They can't fast while the groom is with them, but someday the groom will be taken away from them, and then they will fast." Jesus responds to their question about whether his disciples fast with a question. That's often his way, is he'll ask a question back in response. And sometimes in our lives, as we're praying and we're trying to discern something, we may discern another question, but that helps us. That helps us in our contemplation. So rather than rushing through things, if we think we sense a question, pause, linger, and ask God's help to answer the question in our life. Jesus goes on to say, no one would fast during a wedding celebration. Jesus is the bridegroom. And we know that Jesus is the bridegroom, and the church is the bride. Jesus also knows that when he is taken away by dying on the cross, the believers will fast, and this fasting will be part of their mourning. Jesus did not refute the practice of fasting, but indicates it's not appropriate at this time. Dear friends, we engage in fasting activities during Lent to prepare our hearts and minds to observe Good Friday and to celebrate Easter. And there's a lot of different ways to fast beyond the simply not eating any food. And so, you know, if you wanted to talk about that with me afterwards, we could talk about different ways of fasting. Jesus goes on to say, besides, who would patch old clothing with a new cloth? For the new patch would shrink and rip away from the old cloth, leaving an even bigger tear than before. And no one puts new wine into old wineskins, for the new wine would burst the wineskins, and the wine and the skins would both be lost. New wine calls for new wineskins. Jesus provides these proverbs to indicate that something new has occurred, and some of the old traditions do not apply. Again, Jesus has announced the kingdom of God is near, and so there are new interpretations of the law and the prophets, which Jesus will fulfill. He didn't overturn them, but he did fulfill them. One Sabbath day, as Jesus was walking through some grain fields, his disciples began breaking off heads of grain to eat. But the Pharisees said to Jesus, Look, why are they breaking the law by harvesting grain on the Sabbath? Now, the disciples are hungry, and they're breaking off grain to eat. Remember, the disciples have left their jobs to follow Jesus, and so they're poor, and now they are hungry. They're not working, and they're not violating the commandment to remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. Jesus responds. He said to them, haven't you ever read in the scriptures what David did when he and his companions were hungry? He went into the house of God during the days when Abiathar was high priest and broke the law by eating the sacred loaves of bread that only the priests are allowed to eat. He gave some to his companions. So Jesus reminds the Pharisees of the passage during which David and his companions are eating the sacred loaves that were in the sanctuary. And this is in 1 Samuel chapter 1, verses 1 through 6. So David violated the sanctuary by entering the area that only could be entered by the priest. Remember, in Jewish tradition, there are parts of the temple that can only be entered by certain people. So Gentiles could only enter the very outside and so forth. And there was parts where only the priests could go. And David, not a priest, is in that part of the sanctuary. Then he takes the bread that is reserved for the priests. And the bread was probably placed there on the Sabbath. So it was freshly prepared and brought in on the Sabbath or just before the Sabbath for the priests. These violations are greater than the disciples breaking off grain to eat. And yet it was acceptable that David did this, because the law allows exceptions to the Sabbath requirements to address hunger and illness, health concerns, well-being. And one of the parts of Scripture that supports this is in Micah. In Micah, the prophet states, the Lord has told you what is good, and this is what he requires of you, to do what is right, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Then Jesus said, the Sabbath was made to meet the needs of people and not the people to meet the requirements of Sabbath. So let's contemplate Sabbath, which is one of the commandments in the Ten Commandments that was given by God to Moses. First of all, we know that God blessed the Sabbath by resting at the beginning of creation, and that's in Genesis chapter 2, verses 2 to 3. God gave the Sabbath to the Israelites who had been slaves in Egypt. They were oppressed. They were working 7 days a week. Many of them died because of this oppression and this work that the Egyptians had piled on top of them. God freed them from this slavery and gave them a day of rest, knowing humans need rest. So Sabbath is a blessing. Sabbath is not only a day of rest, but also a day to gather together and worship the Lord. Sabbath was regarded by faithful Jews during the first century as a festive day of resting and eating and drinking. Also, there was social justice incorporated into Sabbath, with requirements that servants and slaves also be given a day of rest on the Sabbath. Yet we must be careful not to embrace the oppressive yoke of legalism and judgmentalism, as the Pharisees did by questioning the disciples breaking the heads off of grain to eat when hungry, and by questioning when Jesus healed people on the Sabbath, which we're about to get to in this passage. Jesus concludes, "So the Son of Man is Lord, even over the Sabbath." Jesus has the ultimate authority over interpreting the law and the prophets. Now, Christian observance of the Sabbath is not negated by this passage. And there have been those who said, well, yeah, that's done, that's fulfilled. That's not true. People benefit from a day of rest. God created us, and God knows that we need rest. Dear friends, in our harried, stressed environment, there is a nonprofit organization called Reboot, and they are seeking to reinvent the Jewish rituals and traditions and encourage hyper-connected and frequently frantic people of all backgrounds to re-embrace the ancient beauty of a day of rest. And so they created what they call the Sabbath Manifesto. So it's a little radical, it's a little counterculture, and that's what we Christians get to be. We get to be counterculture because we are in alignment with God. And so these are their principles that they proposed to do once a week. Avoid technology. Uh-oh, that's a little hard. Connect with loved ones. Well, that's great. Nurture your health. Get outside. Avoid commerce. Light candles. Drink wine. Eat bread. Find silence. Give back. So these are some things to do. You don't have to do all 10, but some things to do to just take a day of rest, to pause, and to connect with your loved ones and to connect with God. The passage continues. Jesus went into the synagogue again and noticed a man with a deformed hand. Since it was the Sabbath, Jesus' enemies watched him closely. If he healed the man's hand, they planned to accuse him of working on the Sabbath. The religious leaders are watching Jesus closely, not to learn from him, not to rejoice that the man's hand is healed, but rather they are watching Jesus to determine if he violates their interpretation of the Sabbath. They intend to accuse Jesus of violating their interpretation of Sabbath. Jesus said to the man with the deformed hand, "Come and stand in front of everyone." Jesus calls the man forward to demonstrate publicly that he has the power to heal the man. He seeks to bring health and well-being to the man in the synagogue. Shalom means peace and wholeness, and that is what Jesus is wanting to bring to this man, but to everyone. Shalom, peace, and wholeness. And Jesus is confronting the Pharisees with their oppressive, legalistic interpretation of the law. On Reformation Day, let us remember that Martin Luther opposed oppressive religious practices that were added by the church and not supported by Scripture. We also need to be careful, dear friends, as people of faith, that we don't add things. We don't add things that wind up being burdensome and unnecessary practices. There are things that may seem like good ideas, but in fact, they're not necessary and they're not based in Scripture. After all, Martin Luther said, sola scriptura, which means Scripture alone. Then he turned to his critics. So Jesus turned to his critics and asked, "Does the law permit good deeds on the Sabbath, or is it a day for doing evil? Is this a day to save life or to destroy it?" But they would not answer him. He looked around at them angrily and was deeply saddened by their hard hearts. Then he said to the man, "Hold out your hand." So the man held out his hand, and it was restored. Jesus is angry and deeply saddened because of the hearts of the religious leaders that are hardened. They love their perception of authority, which Jesus questions, Jesus confronts. They are missing that the greatest commandment is to love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. Their interpretation of Sabbath does not conform to this commandment. By healing the man, Jesus demonstrates that he has the power to heal, as well as the power to interpret the law. The passage concludes, "At once the Pharisees went away and met with the supporters of Herod to plot how to kill Jesus." The Pharisees intend to have Jesus killed. They will collude with the supporters of Herod, with whom they had not aligned. So that is how desperate they are to have Jesus killed. They will seek these political alignments. That is not what they would normally want. Dear friends, please pray with me. Heavenly Father, we just thank you and praise you. We thank you for giving us your word. We thank you. We ask that you help us to focus in on it. We know that you help us to interpret it. Pour out your spirit upon us to help us to understand the scripture and to help us not to add anything to it, but instead to learn from it. Help us to have shalom, peace, and well-being, and help us to reflect your love and your light to everyone whom we encounter. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.